Hey everybody, welcome to I'm Not Crying, You're Crying Reviews. And on this
Thanks,
Juan. And on this episode, we are reviewing Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. With me, as always, is Jay.
Hi everybody.
And Juan, or Reviews.
Reviews!
Thanks, Reviews. And I'm Sean, and this is our
Reviews.
This is our theme music.
Reviews!
Hey everybody, welcome back to I'm Not Crying, You're Crying Reviews. As always, you can find us on all of the socials, our website. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, which is now X, TikTok, Instagram.
Is it officially X already?
Yeah, man, it's been X for some time.
Shit, so do I need to update my...
Your app should have already updated. But with all that said, make sure you take time to stop and review our podcast on iTunes because it helps us find more people like you. Juan, welcome back to the conversation. Yes, Twitter is X. It's been X for some time, but people still call it Twitter because I think Twitter just has a better ring to it. But whatever. Like I said, we're here to review Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. So two things. Juan, have you even seen the movie?
Yeah, the first one.
Great. Thanks. Second, from this point forward, there will be spoilers. So if you have not seen the movie.
Dude, how long has the movie been out?
It has not been out long enough, Juan.
No.
You haven't even seen it. So
yeah, so I don't understand why we have to do spoilers. It's been out for like 2 months already, right?
It's a courtesy. It's a fucking courtesy, dude.
No, we're doing a okay, whatever.
Yeah, well, look, Juan, yeah, it's a courtesy to people who read the title, decided to click on it to hear you get made fun of for 5 minutes.
Can we just call Peter and Herbert up and see if they've seen it? And that way we can avoid the spoilers. And before I continue, fuck you, Herbert. Thank you for the candy, by the way.
All right. If you have not seen the movie, stop the podcast now. We'll be here or listen to us and we may still get shit wrong. Doesn't matter. And then come back and listen and we'll be here.
We will get things wrong.
You will for sure. So Jay, you've obviously seen the movie.
Yes, I've seen it twice.
Yeah, I just watched it for a third time, right before getting on. Juan, you have not seen the movie?
Okay. Yes, I have seen it.
Okay.
And I am angry.
We will see.
I am angry about it because none of you fuckers told me it ends with a cliffhanger.
We didn't tell you. Yeah. We didn't tell you it had a clip because I think you watched the wrong Spider-Verse, bro. Anyway, the movie is directed by all the same folks. So, and I'm going to fuck these names up because that's what I do. But, Joaquin Dos Santos, he did Shazam, Legend of Korra, and he's going to do the next Spider-Verse movie, which is Beyond the Spider-Verse. Kemp Powers, who you may recognize his name from the movie Soul, and then Justin K. Thompson, because he did Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, who that's another movie that I love. This movie has the same cast. I think there's a few new voices in here, and that's like Jason Schwartzman, who was in the first movie for a fraction of a second, but has a much bigger role in this one.
Is he Peter Parker?
Are you fucking serious?
Yeah, I'm asking who he was.
He didn't voice any characters in the first one. They referred to his character in the first one, but he didn't voice that character in the first one.
Who was he in the first one?
He was a scientist that got hit with a bagel. On the
movie. Yeah. Oh, he's Dot?
Yeah.
Spot.
Yes.
Spot. Yeah, whatever.
He's whole?
Is that why the fucking voice sounded so familiar?
It wouldn't have sounded familiar because it would have been, that if you recognize
this. No. The actor, when you said the actor's name.
Okay.
Yeah, normally when I've seen like animated films and I really enjoy them, I go on the web and try to see who voiced who, and I go, this one did not make me want to do that.
What? I love Jason Schwartzman.
Yeah. No, I do too, but I
not
didn't
that much.
Really care that much for this movie.
Well, there you go. But anywho, yeah. So Jason Schwartzman, he's a new voice in this one. So it's Issa Rae as Drew, Jessica Drew or Spider-Woman. Karan Soni, and he plays Spider-Man India. And Daniel Kaluuya, he's in here as Hobie Brown as Spider-Punk. Oscar Isaac as Miguel O'Hara or Spider-Man 2099. And I'm going to fuck this guy's name up too, but they have this guy, and it's a spoiler. This is a huge spoiler for the movie. Harrell Jerome as Miles G. Morales, Prowler of Earth 42.
The fucking movie for me.
Thanks, bro. The movie's budget was somewhere between 90 and 135 million, but the box office gross was like 680 million, so almost $500 million. It got beat out by Barbie this year. So this movie picks up literally right after the first Spider-Verse movie. So
not
Spider-Man.
Literally, that like they've aged.
Yes,
it takes place like a year after.
I would say the longest. I mean, it takes place in that the after credit scene that we saw where what's her face pokes her head into his room.
Gwen Stacy.
Yeah.
Or
yeah, yeah,
yeah. Ghost Spider or whatever her name is. Ghost
Spider Gwen.
What is her character's name?
Arachnid Woman.
Spider Gwen.
Yeah.
I thought it was Ghost Spider or something like that.
No. She refers to herself as Spider Woman.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, Juan, you are correct. It does take place after the first movie. Look at you. Sometime has passed. Miles is definitely more practiced Spider-Man, but the movie actually opens with Gwen Stacy and kind of where she is and her story. We learn a whole bunch of stuff about Gwen Stacy. So, first of all, for the people who have seen the movie, Jay, what did you think about the opening? Because like, you know, this really kind of sets up the art style and what you expect to see for the remainder of the film. Are you into it or you not so into it? What was the deal?
I loved it. It was so good because it's such a different animation style. Like, because it felt like they animated in the style of her comic book, like that watercolor comic book cover that they did for Gwen Stacy.
Oh man, I didn't see that. Now I'm gonna Google it while we're talking. But I thought the colors were a little intense. Like I thought it was cool, but it got to a point where I think it was like almost overwhelming for my brain. You know,
fuck you guys. I Googled Ghost Spider and it is Gwen Stacy.
What the fuck?
You guys made me feel like an idiot.
What the fuck are you talking about?
They don't call her Ghost Spider.
That's the name of the...
Okay.
Google just confirmed it too. Thank you, Google, for eavesdropping.
So anyway, Juan, the opening of the movie. What did you think about the opening of the movie?
I think that's what lost me. I didn't care for it.
Okay, usually that's accompanied with a reason.
No, I think the reason that you guys liked the different animation styles into the one scene or the one sequence, I didn't care for it. And then when the title credits start rolling, I go, oh shit, that was the pre-credit scene. That was pretty fucking long.
It was a long prologue. And you, honestly, your feelings are valid because the first time I saw Across Spider-Verse, I really didn't understand why they put so much emphasis on Gwen Stacy's story in the beginning until I watched it maybe the second time, and I appreciated everything a lot more.
So yeah, I enjoyed it. I just was, I don't know, the colors were a little overwhelming, and I think we go there a couple more times throughout the movie. And yep. So, like, there's a scene in this movie that, like, hurts my brain, and I'll tell you guys when we talk about it. So, you know, we learn a whole bunch about Gwen Stacy in this opening act, right? We learn that she's been on the run as Spider-Woman in her world, Ghost Spider for Juan, and she's at odds with her dad because her Peter Parker became the Lizard, and he died in the middle of, like, a school dance or something like that.
Yeah.
And so she's kind of been like dealing with this on her own this entire time because Peter was her best friend and he looked up to Spider-Gwen and he knew the entire time that it was her. But she didn't know that he knew. And so like she's kind of been dealing with this this entire thing. So we understand the tragedy of her story, right? Her Uncle Ben moment is that for her.
And essentially the reason he had done that in his dying words was he wanted to be more like her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that right there, you know, so Gwen's carrying all this kind of this misery around with her based off that interaction, and then still being at odds with her dad. So then, later on in the movie, later after this, if we get all that information, we then cut over to what's happening with Miles. And Miles is kind of this new Spider-Man, right? He's like more confident. He's got a little swag going on. He got a new costume, you know. I've got a little hair on his nuts, if I'm being honest. He's just kind of swinging around doing stuff.
He has a mustache.
He has a mustache
that's coming in.
Yeah. And so you get to see him swing around and do all this stuff, you know. And he meets the Spot for the first time. And I think this, the way you meet the Spot and the way you meet like Miles, really kind of like, for me, tie up the entire theme of the movie, of this movie for me with Miles. So, the Spot is trying to steal an ATM and he's trying to do it sneakily, but he doesn't really have a good grasp on his powers, right? He's like, you know, trying to take it, but the guy who runs the shop is like, hey bro, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
And while all this is happening, you know, Miles is taking it upon himself to heat up a burrito.
I thought it was a Hot Pocket.
Yeah, I don't know. He's eating up some food.
No, it was like an empanada or something like that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But he's like, you know, and he's making jokes and kind of like laughing at the guy, you know.
Kind of like our Peter Parker.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But again, like, you know, I said, Miles is a whole different beast to come around this time. So, you know, he gets some words in with the Spot, and it turns out Spot's like, hey, man, you created me, and, you know, we're perfect rivals. And Miles is like, what the fuck are you talking about, dude? Like, I don't even know who the fuck you are. And so then, you know, we get the revelation,
You're just the villain of the week.
Yeah, you're just the villain of the week. But we get the revelation in this scene, and I don't know if you guys knew this, but like, I was a little confused for a little bit. But he's like, yeah, the spider. I worked on the collider that brought the spider into this universe, and it bit you. Now,
some big foreshadowing for the Dick Spider-Man later on.
There's many Spider-Men in this movie. I did not see the penis shaped one.
The one I don't like, the Hugo or whatever.
Who?
The main Hispanic one.
Miguel?
Miguel, yeah, whatever his fucking name was.
Hugo.
I didn't care for him.
Whatever his Latin name is.
Yeah, whatever. Whatever his first Latin, his the first his, anyway, did you guys know that about the spider that bit Miles in from the first movie before this scene?
No, I knew it until later on in the movie.
This guy.
Well, I would have to go back and rewatch the first one to confirm it, but I think it had the number 42 and Alchemax on it.
It did have those things, and it, you know. It did have those things on it, but I don't think I got I mean, maybe I'm just stupid, but I don't think I got the idea that it was like from a separate universe.
So is this true to the comic book, or is this like random shit?
Well, he does get bit by Spider-Man number 42. So the universe things are just things that are happening for this movie to keep this story going.
In the comic books, he comes to be after the real Peter Parker dies in the world, right?
Yeah, in the Ultimate comic books, Peter died fighting, I want to say, the Green Goblin, who was trying to replicate his own, like, he was trying to replicate Spider-Man's powers, basically. But the reason why he couldn't replicate them is because Peter's dad had used his blood, like Peter, like Parker blood, to synthesize this thing that made this spider that gave Peter his power. So only Peter could have been the one to have gotten these powers in the Ultimate Universe. Anywho,
doesn't Miles die like after year one of Spider-Man, or after 3 years of being Spider-Man? I thought he dies.
No, taking us off course, but he goes on to get support from S.H.I.E.L.D. like, because after Spider-Man died, the Avengers and S.H.I.E.L.D. kind of felt responsible. So like the second Miles appeared, he made his debut. Like Nick Fury was like, hey, motherfucker, get over here. Like, there's rules to this shit. You can't just be jumping around. So he got him a suit. He got him some support. Like, he got him all kinds of stuff.
I honestly thought that Miles dies off after like.
Why do you want him dead already?
Yeah, bro.
I thought he did.
Well, He's not. He didn't die. If anything, they had another comic book event where they actually merged his universe to bring him into the main continuity, because he was only an Ultimate Universe Spider-Man up until, you know, a couple years ago. But anyway, Juan, so we get to see all this stuff going down, and at the same time this fight is happening with the Spot, Miles gets a text from his parents, who are in his school counselor's office, like, where are you, you know? And so he's like, he's texting and fighting the Spot all at the same time, right? He's trying to make it to this meeting, and the Spot is basically like trying to convince him that I turned to a life of crime because of you. Like, we're linked, and there's nothing you can do about it. And, you know, I'm going to be your greatest villain. And Miles is kind of like, Miles is not really all with him, you know, because he thinks of him as kind of this quick villain to kind of get rid of. And it was a fun fight to watch, because you kind of watch Miles kind of evolve his own little powers, like, as he fights him. So in the beginning, his little holes are confusing him. And then, like, later by the end of the fight, Miles is able to anticipate where they go and corner him and do all kinds of stuff to the guy. As they come to the end of the fight, Miles finally ties him up in his own little holes and then gets back to the office. And, you know, he turns out that he's getting, he's failing
no,
Spanish.
He
got to be in Spanish, and he speaks Spanish. And his mom was yelling at him because he was speaking Spanglish on top of that. And, but before then, the counselor is telling his mom, like, after all that happens, counselor tells his mom, you know, he's lying to you and you know it. And she looks at her like, oh, what the fuck? But, you know, and then she moves on and they go on, and there's a whole other party happening.
Well, that was to celebrate the dad. Yeah.
Making captain again. Some more foreshadowing. Juan, you want to yell that out loud too?
No, I was just confirming that it was a year and 4 months after the first movie that it takes place.
Juan, I'm going to need you to keep up with the current conversation.
Scene with the counselor and his parents, it's such a complex and interesting scene to watch, you know, because there's so many things happening just in the scene where, you know, Miles has been keeping the secret of being Spider-Man for, you know, forever, for as long. Yeah. For as long as he's been Spider-Man. And then his parents don't want him to leave and grow up. They want him to be the little boy that he's always been. And he wants to tell his parents that he's Spider-Man. Just so he can get that lie. Yeah, that he can get that lie where he can be open and honest with his parents. But I don't think he thinks that his parents will accept him being Spider-Man, you know, and being this hero for the city.
There's a lot to kind of unpack. Just you're right, because in the counselor, I mean, just the counselor is, I think, was a little offensive to Jefferson, because she's like, oh, you know, we got to tell you guys a unique story,
which is fascinating, because like the whole movie was trying to define Miles's story, you know, and it starts with this counselor trying to come up with you know, this sympathetic story for him to go to college.
Yeah. The counselor does that, Jay. And then the other part of the story is like, yeah, they're trying to define Miles' story the entire time. Everyone's telling Miles like what he can and can't do. The other thing, though, like for me, which is why I think I love the Spot as his villain for this arc, for this series, is because like they're literally, I feel like they're polar opposites, right? Like, Miles thinks that he has everything covered, that he's being Spider-Man very well, and that he's also being a really good son, and that he's covering all of his grades. But like, he's missing a few classes, and he's getting a B in Spanish. And, you know, before then, he was a straight A student, where like the Spot literally can be everywhere all at once if he wanted to. And Miles can't, but that's what he thinks he's doing. And the Spot thinks that he's, you know, that whatever he's supposed to be doing is the right thing. So I think they exist in this perfect like symmetry for one another. So it makes me wonder how they plan to end the arc. Obviously, good guy versus bad guy, some shit's going to happen. And I hope that it's a lot more interesting than, you know, they get to the final whatever that thing is, and he just goes, I don't want to do this anymore, or he blows up or kills himself or some bullshit like that.
I love Anywho. That, you know, they're taking a lot of these obscure, like, campy villains, and they're giving them so much depth.
Yeah. I actually kind of sympathize with the Spot.
Yeah, he lost his face.
Yeah, you remember, because when he first goes, what is that, some kind of costume? He goes, no, unfortunately for both of us, it's this is skin.
Yeah.
It's like, holy shit, like, that's his body now, you know? How does he piss? I have no clue.
Probably pisses in a portal, makes it rain on some other universe.
Some poor universe is just like, finally it rains. But yeah, and then, so we get that opening scene, and then Miles instantly realizes that the Spot's free again. And he has to go back out and wrestle him, and he ends up running into his dad this time. Now, I feel like I can't remember if it jumps back to Gwen right before this, or if it jumps back after this one. So I'm going to, if I mess it up, I'm sorry. But so they have an entire fight. And at the end of this fight, you know, Miles again has shown kind of his mastery of his spider ability. Because he's kind of chasing him through the city and has really kind of chased him back to the collider where it all started, because that's where the Spot led them. And the Spot absorbed himself.
Yeah, he kind of fell into his own hole.
Yeah, he fell into his own hole, and he discovered that, holy shit, he can be anywhere, wherever he wants to be. Just he has access to the entire multiverse, and that he needs to get to the colliders there to gain more power. One of my favorite things is that when he first realizes it, he bursts into like Lego Spider-Man universe, you know, and it was the most hilarious thing just to watch a little Lego Spider-Man run to the bathroom.
Even before that, he went into like the old 60s comic type of animation.
Yeah.
One of the citizens beat his face with her purse.
A purse? Yeah. A fun fact is that bathroom, the Lego bathroom scene, was actually animated by a kid. He reenacted the entire trailer in Legos, and the director saw it and was like, holy shit, this kid's good. So they got him to do this one scene, which is why it ended up in the movie.
That's pretty cool.
So good for that kid. He's making, hey, you see, Juan, has your toys ever done anything like that for you?
No.
Yeah, I know. I know. and then also at the end of that fight, Miles and, well, Spider-Man and Officer Jeffers, Morales, they have a heart-to-heart talk, you know. He not knowing that he's talking to his son, and Miles trying really hard to disguise his voice so his dad doesn't recognize him.
Yeah, I like how he tries to deepen his voice and sound more Puerto Rican
Yeah, he just, like, it's the funniest thing because, like, you know, he's really trying. He's like, well, maybe if you gave him a little more space, he would be, he would be okay. And, you know, but his dad is really having a tough time. He's really trying to figure out, how the hell am I supposed to reach this kid? You know, like, I really want to make sure,
you know,
he's gonna
be that,
okay.
That Gwen also did the same thing with.
Yeah,
her dad,
right?
She disguised her voice with him.
It's a spider thing, you know. I guess you just have to. And I believe at this point it cuts back to Gwen, and so we kind of get some level of reconciliation with Gwen and her dad, because again, she's carrying around all this stuff, and her dad has been on the person hunt, man hunt for the Spider Woman, Juan, and. It's really kind of tearing a chasm between them, although the dad doesn't know why. You know, the dad I think is hunting him, is hunting Spider-Woman because...
Didn't that happen in the beginning of the movie?
Yeah, but I mean, she revealed herself to her dad.
Yeah.
And her dad chose to arrest her.
Yeah, but then he quit afterwards.
No, that was later in the movie, but in the beginning, she revealed herself to her dad, and her dad had that moment, and then he started to read her Miranda rights.
Yep.
His own daughter, he was going to arrest her for the murder of Peter Parker.
Yeah, that's the craziest shit, right?
And like, that's when the other two people, like, take her into the portal and give her a watch. Yeah.
Miguel and Jessica Drew, they took her to join the Spider-Verse.
Yeah. yeah,
Spider like, Society.
Spider, yeah, they get that cool watch. I wonder if they're gonna sell those watches. But yeah, so that all that happens after she meets the Vulture for the first time, because she would finally was like, all right, cool, with
the Da Vinci Vulture.
Yeah, which I was really. Really cool.
That was such a cool animated Vulture.
Yeah, wasn't it? I mean, and this is one of the things I think I loved about about this movie is that, like, every character gets their own animation style, and I don't know how the hell they keep up with it. It's probably why this movie takes so fucking long to come out. But, like, it's one of the cool things about the movie is that everyone gets their own animation style. It's one of the things I really liked about the first movie is that everyone's in Miles's world, and Miles is sharing that same aesthetic, but everyone comes in with their own aesthetic. And then even within that was a little microcosm of like Miles being animated at like 12 frames or some shit like that until he became Spider-Man. Then he was at 24 frames like everybody else. It's I enjoyed that stuff. And this Da Vinci fucking like Renaissance Vulture was like super fucking cool.
It's really refreshing to watch this like type of animation, you know, because like I watched a lot of like the DC animated movies, and I was always wishing that they could animate some of the stories like the art style of the comic books.
Oh yeah, that would be really cool. And the DC animated universe, the animated stuff, I mean, it's always really good, and it would be super cool to see it like that. Did you see one that he had a hammer space ability? That they explain what that was?
I must have missed that.
Well, he brings out a weapon that's like larger than the one he had. And he's like, well, he goes, he has hammer space. And they put up a little explainer of what hammer space is. But have you seen the mask? Have you seen the mask one?
Yes.
Yeah. It's the hammer space is just that Looney Tune idea of like bringing out these larger than life weapons from nothing. Right. And so I just thought that was super cool. And that's where we get introduced to Miguel O'Hara or Spider-Man 2099. And there's some stuff that happens in this scene with him that they don't really...
How does he become a Spider-Man?
He gets bit by a spider.
Does he?
On his dick.
No. Does he really get bit by a spider? Because he's injecting himself with shit later on.
It's funny you mentioned that, Juan. So Miguel O'Hara, not specifically a Spider-Man in traditional sense. He has like some version of vampirism, and he takes these injections to keep that in check. The balance of it is that it gives him so pseudo like spider powers. He gets enhanced strength, speed, agility, durability. He gets like, but he's not a Spider-Man in a traditional sense.
Yeah, because I've, and this is probably because I didn't know the lore that well, but I found it interesting that he has like this boner for protecting the timeline and making sure that the Peter Parkers get their deaths and all that shit, but yet he's not a Peter Parker. And the way he was a dick to fucking Miles, where he's like, that shit wasn't meant for you, that was meant for the Peter Parker in your universe, and because you fucking took it, he died.
Well, I mean, he also Rick and Morty'd another universe.
He did. He's never seen Rick and Morty. So in Rick and Morty, if you're listening to this and you've never seen Rick and Morty, skip ahead like 40 seconds because there's going to be a spoiler. So in Rick and Morty, there's an episode where they ruin their universe. They literally hop into a universe that is close to theirs, and they kill themselves, and then they just take them take their places, and no one is any the wiser. It's great.
And that's what Miguel did. He found a universe where he had a family and he was happy, but that Miguel in that universe had died. Mm-hmm. So he just took that place, that he took the place of that Miguel, and then that's why his universe imploded, because he disrupted a canon event, or he fucked up a universe.
Yeah, so but as you were saying, Juan, this Spider-Man is a little weird, because I think he was going to suck the blood of this Da Vinci guy before that helicopter showed up, and then they don't really follow up on that anymore in the movie. You see him take the serum, and then he jumps around after Miles for a while.
He's a villain later on, right?
I mean, he's a villain in the movie.
Yeah.
Well, he's a heavy antagonist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he's not a full-on villain yet, right? Like,
I mean, he
had the support of Peter Parker and Gwen Stacy.
Yeah, but I mean, he wanted to let Miles' dad die because it was a canon event.
Yeah. Yeah, so to your point, Juan, I think he's doing some very villainous things, some very despicable things that you kind of go, why the fuck? Why in the world?
I mean, the way he attacked Miles and he whispered the shit of...
you're a mistake.
Yeah, and all that shit. That was very like Scar and Mufasa there.
Because I feel like maybe he thought he was talking to himself, right?
Remember, Scar and Mufasa, Scar and Simba.
Well, I think he might have felt like he was talking to himself a little bit, right? Because what happened to Miles by happenstance, he did on purpose, right? He went to a place where a Spider-Man wasn't supposed to be and so on and so forth. And then like it caused this entire thing to collapse.
Like in every fucking... Spider-Verse, their version of Gwen Stacy dies, or their version of Uncle Ben dies, but that's because they're a Peter Parker type-esque, and Miles is completely different. So fucking, his name again?
Well, Miles isn't different.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, Miles is the way it happened to him, right? His spider came from a separate universe, so like, you know, they flip-flopped, whatever. But he's still Spider-Man, right? So, like, he still has all the other hallmarks. Like, Gwen Stacy has a police captain as a dad.
Gwen Stacy is from a different universe.
Yeah, just like his spider is from a different universe. And
but, like, is there a Gwen Stacy in his universe?
Yeah, there probably is.
Yeah, probably.
She probably died.
Yeah.
How?
Because there was
a Peter... never met...
There was a Peter Parker.
Yeah.
And there was a Spider-Man. And, you know, that story usually unfolds where Gwen Stacy dies because of Spider-Man's mistake, you know?
Yeah. And Miles still has all the hallmarks of the other things that, like, so if you're not a Peter, you probably got a police captain in your life, right? If you're a Peter, you got an Uncle Ben, right? You got an Aunt May, but
his uncle ended up being a bad guy.
Whose uncle?
Yeah, his Uncle Miles. Aaron. Yeah, his Uncle Aaron.
Well, yeah.
He was a Prowler.
Yeah. But again, he's going through, he still has all the hallmark things. So like.
So who's his Uncle Ben?
His Uncle Ben was technically Aaron Davis, right? But he still has a police captain dad who, once he makes captain, he's earmarked to die. Right?
Yeah, it's part of the canon events for all the Spider.
I think Miles is the exception to the rule. Well, and that's where the vampire spider is.
That's
fucking
the
up.
That's the struggle that Miles is going through, and that's what makes this movie so great. Is because everyone's trying to define his story, except for Miles. Miles wants to just make his own story.
Yep.
Yeah, he wants to do his own thing. And he says it more than once. And I think, like, you know, as we get further through the movie, I think that becomes a theme of, like, Miles trying to, figure out how he's going to be, how he's going to be Miles and Spider-Man at the same time. And B, like, how he's, like, what's supposed to happen with him? Like, he doesn't know. He's not really, he's kind of going with the flow. You know what I mean? So, you know, they go through all this. We figure all this stuff with Gwen. She joins the Spider Society. They go back to their thing. And then, you know, she shows up after Miles is late, after picking up the cake, and he gets grounded for 3 months because he's talking back to his parents. And, you know, she shows up and she's like, well, is Spider-Man grounded? You know, and like, no, they go on a little adventure. They go show off with one another and they have like this really this heartfelt scene, you know, after she disappears, where, you know, which I think was it was the opposite of what Miles has said. So they have this scene, they're sitting upside down in the city and she's like, who else can we talk about this stuff? You know, because they're the only spider people in their world.
Yeah.
And she knows 100% that like Miles is like crushing super hard on her. And she's like, you know, in every universe, Peter falls for Gwen. And in every universe, it doesn't work out. But
while she's saying that, he's like, oh, OK, this is my opening. And he's trying to like make his move and he's inching closer for her hand. And then she's like, but it doesn't work out. And he's like, oh, let me back the fuck up.
Well, yeah.
I mean, yeah, he's still 15, though, you know?
Yeah, he's still like, hey, so my dick, right? Like, what's the...
And then she does the, after I send those mixed signals, let me just shoulder bump him and lean against him.
Well, I mean, she's, that. This is why this story is also complex, because they dive into her friendship with Peter Parker. You know, that was her best friend before she failed him and he died, you know, like Peter Parker is her biggest failure. And that's the whole through line with all the Spider-Men. They've all had that big failure where it haunts them. And then they feel like they can't be happy. They can't have everything. Mm-hmm. And that's why Miles is the way he is, because he hasn't had that big failure, you know, like he prevented the Canon event for Spider-Man India, you know, like that was supposed to be Spider-Man India's biggest failure, the death of the Captain Singh.
Captain Singh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that would have defined him as a Spider-Man for the rest of his career. But he disrupted that. So like Spider-Man India is still a happy-go-lucky guy.
Yeah. Yeah. So to Jay's right on the damn head is that Miles hasn't experienced this large failure yet, because you remember, yeah, the Prowler died and it was devastating to him because he loved his uncle, but it wasn't his fault, right? Like he wasn't the one that pulled the trigger or killed the guy, right?
Yeah, and he wasn't developed in his spider powers where he could have stopped it. It was just an unfortunate thing that happened. Yeah. You know, it's not like with Uncle Ben's where it could have been prevented, but you know, Spider-Man just let it happen. He let the burglar get away to eventually kill Uncle Ben, you know, where that was his responsibility. That's where he learned that, you know, he had the power to stop this murder, but he just didn't.
Yeah. And Spider-Man India, right? Like without Miles being there, without that group being there, right, it would have been too much for him to take on alone, right? So he would have had to choose to save the captain or his girlfriend, right? And he would have made the selfish choice, thinking he could do both, but he could not, right? So like, but Miles was there to save him. So, you know, I think in this scenario, again, I hope whatever I you know what, Jay, you said that, it puts in my mind that maybe the spot is going to be Miles's greatest failure. You know, like he'll save his dad, he'll save all these other people, but he will not be able to save the spot from himself.
Yeah, I think the spot is going to be a menace in beyond the Spider-Verse.
But with all that said, so we also learn a lot about what, you know, we also learn a lot about Miguel O'Hara, you know, Juan, the guy Spider Dick, the guy, the large veiny guy running around shooting webs from the tip. He put together this whole society in Nueva New York, which is a real place in the comics. And this is the place where all spider people that are a part of the society come from. And you get to see all different variations of spider folks. You know, I think someone did the counting somewhere and there's like over 100 and no, I want to say in the thousands of variety of spider people.
Dude, there's so many.
Yeah. there's Peter Parkcar, which is
Peter Parkcar. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's a horse. There's a horse one. Oh God. Many. Anyway, yeah,
was it Webster?
Yeah, like whatever spider thing you're into, they had one there. They had one.
Yeah,
there
for the spider cat.
Yeah, yeah. It's
you know what? There were some gems in there. Like they had Spectacular Spider-Man.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, yeah. They had the Spider-Man Unlimited from the old Fox TV show. They had the
Scarlet
the
Spider.
60, yeah, they had this. I love the Scarlet Spider.
Yeah, I have you in my well-defined musculature.
You know, they changed that from the theatrical that line.
Yeah, yeah. Oh my God! And that's the other thing about this movie, right? So, Juan, I don't know if you knew this, but people, there was first of all two versions of the theatrical version out, and then if you watch the digital version, the streaming version. There's also some differences there. So, like, even within the Spider-Verse movie, there is an alternate.
Why did they that on purpose?
Yeah.
Yeah. You think it happened? You think a large company like Sony would let something like that happen on accident?
No, I thought that maybe they did a release, an early release, and it wasn't rating well, and they went back and changed shit.
Well, I mean, that whole I got you in the grips of my well-defined muscle. He said before, I got you in a, like my chokehold or something, or but they didn't want to showcase a 15-year-old kid being getting chokehold, so they changed his line to that.
But I don't know what he said.
Well, clearly it's about his well-defined musculature and how they changed it from the thing, how they changed it from different versions. Anywho. But yeah, and then, you know, this is where Miles finds out, and then in that entire scene, like, right, he meets all these people and they go, all right, well, it's time for you to go back. And he's like, well, hey, I'm here to help. Like, come on, man. What the fuck? You know, yeah, I helped Spider-Man India back there, and yeah, it caused a big fucking sinkhole or whatever, but, like, you know, it was the right thing to do. Like, I don't understand what the big fucking deal is. Like, you guys are letting all these people die when they don't have to. If you can save them, why don't you? And, you know, and Miguel is trying to explain to him, like, the same, this timeline, this web of events, like, they have to happen in order for the world not to collapse. So for you to interrupt, it's going to make things worse. And then that's what we learn about, his backstory, where he goes into his dark past that Jay explained about. You know, he Rick and Mortyed himself. He saw a place where he wanted to be, family, happy, and that Miguel O'Hara died, so he took his place. Yeah, so then he goes into this whole thing, and then Miles, again, he's like, well, I get what you're saying, but I'm going to do my own thing. And so he actually starts his entire, like, chase scene throughout New York. He's being chased by basically every spider person that is in that facility, and he somehow outmaneuvers all of them, right? Like, some of those Spider-Men have to be way more experienced and a lot better than Miles, I would assume, but he was able to outmaneuver them. He got them onto a train up into the sky, where he was able to use his new power, his of absorbing energy and then shooting it back at the thing. He did the same thing to Miguel, because his suit is, again, like nanotechnology suit or something like that. So he was able to use that energy to shoot it off of him and then get back down there to get back to what he thought was his own universe. So he breaks back into the spider society. He gets into this big machine, which is basically look like a big spider egg. And I don't know why the necessity for the spider motif for this machine, other than, you know, thematics. But he gets in there, and we all assume is going to take him back to the universe that we believe that he belonged to. But he ends up in a separate universe. And so Gwen realizing, holy shit, I've betrayed my friend, you know, and we totally, like, skipped over the part that made my eyes hurt. But I'll talk about it.
It's that entire fight sequence is when Dickhead Spider-Man tells Miles, essentially, hey, this shit is going to happen. And Peter Parker and Gwen, who are his friends, knew about it and didn't say shit. And then that makes Miles, like, even feel even more alone, because he's like, this is why you guys never reached out. Not because you couldn't. It's you didn't want to, and you were told not to.
Yeah, and you were keeping the secret from me that, A, which he had just learned earlier, but I guess he didn't believe the spot, that the spider that bit him was from a separate universe. B, he was never supposed to be Spider-Man. And C, that, you know, they never reached out to him because he is the original anomaly. The reason why all of these universes are collapsing is because of his initial anomaly. That's why. So, you know, there's a scene there where all three Spider-Man are fighting. In Spider-Man India, this is the part that made my eyes hurt. Spider-Man India, they're fighting there, and his art style is completely different. But then they're joined by Spider-Punk, and Spider-Punk, like, you know, his animation style and the Indian Spider-Man.
He gave me headaches.
Yeah, with Gwen's style and Miles' style, and then the spot, I was just, my eyes, I couldn't. I don't know. I had a headache watching. It was cool. It was cool, but it was like, I had a hard time watching it.
I thought it was great.
I mean, it was cool. I just, my eyes were like, what? I couldn't discern everything that was happening. But anywho, so now they have, so now Miles is back in, he's back in a universe. He doesn't know which, he's back in what he believes to be his universe, and his mom, you know, knocks on the door, and he's been through the shit, right? He's been chased by these people he thought were his friends. He just learned all this stuff. And so he's kind of like hearkening back to the words his mom told him earlier, which is like, just don't forget who you are. Don't forget to be, you know, you. And, he's like, Mom, I have to tell you something, you know? And she's like, well, what the fuck? And he's like, I'm Spider-Man. And she's like, okay, sure. What is it, like some new video game guy? What the fuck are you talking about? And the first, you know, Miles is confused. And he's like, and then she goes, well, what did you do to your hair? You know, so now, you know, if, as the audience, you're like, well, what the fuck is going on? Because his mom doesn't give a shit that he's Spider-Man. She did something about his hair. She has no clue what the fuck is going on. And then I want to say the Uncle Aaron come over and drop off some cash a little bit after that.
Yeah.
He was like, hey, I know things have been tight this week, so here's some cash. And she's like, oh, thank you. I don't know what I would do. So then we're all like, hold on. Hold the fuck up. Like, what's going on here? So then Uncle Aaron, being smarter than the average bear, was like, yeah, Miles, follow me. He already knew something was up. He was like, yeah, man, you know, we got that thing going on later, right? He goes, yeah, we do. We're with the guard. And then he fucking knocks him out. Then he knocks out Miles, right? And then Miles wakes up and he's tied to a punching bag. Is it a punching bag he's tied to?
Yeah, it's a punching bag.
I can't remember.
Yeah, like a heavy
punching bag.
Like a heavy bag.
Yeah, and it's very reminiscent of the scene where Peter Parker was tied up to a punching bag in Miles's garage or something like that after he had transferred over to his universe. And then we get like probably the greatest reveal I want to say that the movie had to offer, which was, you know, so Miles is tied up and he's talking to Uncle Aaron, and then, you know, he's like, he's telling all this stuff, and then he's like, well, you know, you're not supposed to be here. What the hell's going on? And, you know, you're the Prowler where I came from. And he's like, the what? Me? But then up in the rafters is Miles G. Morales, and he jumps down and he confronts his evil twin, probably, to tell him, you know, yeah, man, you're not going anywhere, and we're probably gonna fuck you up. And then the movie ends. That is essentially it. There's a whole lot of stuff going on, Juan, but you know, Spider-Gwen is chasing people, Spider-Punk is helping, they gotta watch, they reconcile with the dad, all kinds of stuff is going on, Juan. But you know, we're nearing time here. So
Well, Gwen's, we forgot about the whole Gwen Stacy actually realizing that she done fucked up and now is going to help. Same thing with Peter Parker and baby Peter Parker.
Mayday. Adorable baby.
Yeah. Yeah. And she ends up in his real universe in his room and talks to the parents.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that was actually a very touching scene. That one and the original scene where the parents interrupt Miles and Gwen, and they're trying to be the cool hip parents.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but in this scene, it was more telling of like of Gwen's character and the protectiveness of Miles' parents, because the dad wasn't he like your dad's probably a drug dealer, and he's like, no, actually he was a captain of the in the police, and that kind of changed his tone of how he treated her and everything.
Oh yeah. So Gwen realizes that, and she makes her way back to the universe 42, because I think at some point she realizes that that's where it's all happening. But
well, she also tries to put a team together.
She does. I think was Spider-Punk on that team. I can't remember.
Spider-Punk, yeah. Peter B. Parker, Spider-Man India was on there. Penny, Spider-Ham.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah, man.
Hey, Spider-Punk and Gwen Stacy, they dated?
I don't know.
Did I misunderstand? Because everything was such a jumble in that scene. But I thought Miles kind of put it like, well, that they dated, and it's like, oh yeah, I have a couple of things in his place. And then he's like, yeah, those chucks are mine.
Yeah. I mean, I saw a video on Spider-Punk, and There's one where they describe his character feeling remorse because he was responsible for the death of Captain Stacy in that universe. Mm-hmm. But he always looked up to Gwen Stacy because he admired her character and he liked her as a drummer.
Oh.
So that I think Spider-Man India, and as I talk about in that scene, I think he recognizes that Miles is like, he has a crush on Gwen. So he's just kind of like, he's just kind of being like, hey man, you know about the other guy whose house you sleep over and clothes you use?
He doesn't know about Hobie.
You know, he's like,
but he also points out the fact that he like senses those type of things, that when they're like, there's connections and they're both kind of like trying to
Yeah, but I mean, like, I think as we, the audience, I think we're in on, it's us, it's a joke that we get to be in on, right? Because it's like, we know that Miles has a thing for her, and we think she might kind of have a thing for him, but she's worried about fucking it up, and really, so she's just trying to keep her distance. So like, you know, so all this is very funny. So when you hear about Hobie, I mean, just like, if you're a guy trying to like woo some girl and you find out, oh, there's some other guy, and, you know, Miles already thinks he's like 50 billion times cooler than he is, right? Because like,
when he takes off the mask, he's like, how is it that you look that good underneath the mask, yeah, too, or that awesome underneath the mask?
Yeah.
Daniel, so, Daniel Kaluuya was really good as Spider-Punk. He's I was cool this whole time.
Like the entire thing when they're talking about his backstory and they're about to reveal who he is outside of the Spider-Man, and it's just a question mark. He's like, what? Did you guys really think I was going to just tell you guys who my secret identity?
Yeah, but then he just takes his mask off inside of the elevator. Yeah, yeah. So he's anti-establishment. Spider-Punk was super fun. All that being said, so we got to the end. We got to the Miles G. Morales, who is voiced by a different actor. You know, Shameik Moore. He is the voice of Miles, the Miles that we know, right? The Miles that we've been with the entire movie. And he doesn't speak Spanish naturally. He learned some Spanish for the movie, right? So like, to give Miles a more authentic, like, you know, Spanglish sound.
Yeah, some Afro Latin centric background.
Yeah. But the guy that's voicing Miles G. Morales, Gonzalo Morales, he is his native Spanish speaker. So, right, he's a guy that grew up in a fatherless home, Miles G. Morales, and where his mom spoke primarily Spanish to him, and that's how they communicated. So, and I think just that difference, the difference in personality and the difference in intonation and all that stuff, all kind of definitely spell out, at least for me, like two very, very different characters, which I thought was super awesome. Now we're at the end of it. Did you guys like the movie? Did you guys? Really?
I think what hit me was the opening sequence was long to me. It didn't pull me in. To me, it did the opposite. I know with a lot of people, it like suckered them in and pulled them in. To me, I finally got to a point in the movie where like, oh shit, it's getting really good. And then they go, fuck you, we're ending it here. And that's when I'm like, wait, what the fuck just happened? And that's when I called you and cussed you out for not giving me a heads up that it was going to end with a major cliffhanger. And I'm going to have to wait a couple years or several years.
Yeah, it depends on the strike, I guess.
Yeah. Until I get to see what happens. So yeah, I it was okay, but I'm not like jizzing all over it like you and Jay, but I am intrigued to see the sequel.
Jay, how about you, man?
I thought it was amazing. I thought this was the best animated film since the first Into the Spider-Verse movie. You know, like this, like the Spider-Verse movie, it's changing animation, you know, like, mm-hmm. like all of, there's all these like copycats for this same type of animation style, you know, where it's kind of like herky jerky, you know, like,
we mentioned it when we talked about the Ninja Turtles movie, right? Is that like, since Spider-Verse, you can see the impact that they've had on the animation. Like, people are just taking bolder and bolder risk, you know what I mean? Like, when it comes to animation, to kind of tell their story.
Yeah, isn't essentially Spider-Verse just a melting pot of different techniques?
Yeah, but like,
that's what makes it so interesting.
Yeah, because before, but
it's not essentially just one style of fucking animation. It's a melting pot. Like it.
Yeah, and that's why it's changing animation right now. You know, like
because Juan, you have to understand that the original Spider-Verse movie was rendered 100% in CGI. They then took those frames and hand drew over them so that everyone had their own unique like artistic style. So everything you see was done on purpose, like to feed its artistic value, right? And then after Spider-Verse, you get Ninja Turtles, you get Mitchell versus the Machines, you get I mean, I can't even think of all the movies that animated films that have come out.
The last Puss in Boots movie.
Oh yeah,
it had the same.
Oh my god, yeah.
animation style, you know?
Yeah. So, you know, that's what made the original Spider-Verse movie so interesting. That's what made it interesting. And the story made it compelling. And it made you want to see what else is going to happen. You know, the animation alone for this one, I mean, personally, the animation for me was a little overwhelming to my eyes in some parts, but still amazing. The story, I mean, it makes me wonder if they had all this planned out from the very beginning. Like if they went to the studio and said, "Hey, I have an idea for a 3-piece spider movie or like one big spider movie, but if I only get to tell one, then here's my one shot, right? A Spider-Man into the Spider-Verse. And then if I get another shot, I have Spider-Man across the Spider-Verse. And if I get one more shot, I have beyond the Spider-Verse and all, right? The only thing is that like this one ended on the cliffhanger, which I don't like, but it makes me wonder like what more they could have been, that they still have left to do.
Isn't essentially one of the, it's the first Spider-Man movie that doesn't end with a clear end for the villain, right? It has a cliffhanger.
What do you mean?
Like even the live action ones never ended with a cliffhanger like this. Did it?
I mean, the main villain arc, he had an arc, you know, where like his story evolved to where he started pathetic, but he ended.
Yeah, but we're not even done with Dot or Spot or whatever his fucking name is.
Dot.
And they introduced vampire fucking Spider-Man, which I think is going to be another fucking villain, because I feel like he's going to continue going after Miles until Captain dies. And then they introduce fucking Miles G. Morales. So that's three fucking villains, but it ends with
I understand what you're saying, Juan, but let me ask you guys, because I've been ever since I've seen this movie, I went through like a range of emotions. And Ozzy, I talked to Ozzy about this, you know, the Gauntlet Master General. And I have to ask, do you guys think that Miles G. Morales is a bad guy, right?
I think he was the person that was supposed to be bitten by the spider, the radioactive spider.
They already said that it was supposed to be another Peter Parker.
No, I mean, he said it was supposed to be Peter Parker, but I think to Jay's point, I think he was supposed to be bit by the spider, I think. But do you think he's a bad guy, though? Do you think that Miles G. Morales is a bad guy?
I think he's probably an anti-hero where he resides, you know.
So like, you're saying kind of like Batman?
I don't know. Because the whole world universe of that whole Earth 42 or whatever looks really dark and shady.
Yeah,
it does look like Gotham in a sense.
I think he's a bad guy because he didn't even ask questions. He let him ramble on. And just from what Miles was like rambling on, if Miles G. Morales was a good guy, I think he would have heard or been intrigued a little bit more by it.
Well, he asked
about
Miles,
his dad being.
Yeah, he said, your father's alive, you know?
Yeah, but then he started punching the bag and punching him. So,
I mean, he didn't hit it hard. He didn't hit him hard. He didn't even hit him. He's just kind of trying to intimidate him.
Yeah. Yeah. I personally don't think he's a bad guy. I think to your
just
point,
just because you're a bad guy doesn't make you a bad guy.
Here's a guy making a Wreck-It Ralph reference over two episodes.
Yeah. What was the name of the character who said that?
Zangief.
Was it?
Yes, from Street Fighter. Am I wrong, Jay?
No, you're absolutely right. But I'm surprised that you had that information in the back of your head.
It was a Disney movie.
I think that in this world where like the Sinister Six are probably like, you know, running the drug cartel of like all the organized crime in this city, I think these two, Miles being the more agile of the two, right? Because I think Uncle Aaron in his younger days was absolutely the prowler. But then he took his nephew under his wing after his brother died, right? Because that's his brother's son. And he's like, I'm not going to let anything happen to my family. He takes him under his wing, teaches him how to be the prowler, right? In his place, he's younger, more agile, able to get into places he can't. And he teaches him how to survive in this world where there are no heroes, right? So they're talking about shift changes on guards and all this stuff because why, if these guys are working for the bad guys, why would they need to worry about that stuff? So I don't think they're bad guys. I think they're highly suspicious of this lookalike that came out of nowhere, right? Because there could be people working in that world trying to hurt them that may use his face to get to to get back at them. So I don't necessarily think that he's a bad guy. I think he might be a little more rough and tumble than the Miles that we're used to dealing with, but I don't think he's a bad guy. But that leads me to my next question. Do you guys think that Miguel is on the up and up? Do you think that Spider Dick Juan, as I'm talking about, do you think that he's on the up and up? That, yeah, he has this whole thing together, but like, then what purpose does it serve? What, like, is he, do you think he's setting up these collapses of universes when this stuff happens? Like, you think he's able to make black holes or some shit like that? Like, what do you think?
I think he needs to deal with his own mistake. You know, I think a lot of the spider people, they have to kind of like face their failures and not dwell on the fact that they failed a person that they were close to, and move forward and try to build relationships again, because once they experience that failure, they kind of cut themselves off from, you know, the people that are close to them. Like in the first movie, Peter B. Parker, you know, his relationship with Mary Jane fell apart, and he fell apart, you know, and he had that arc in the first one where he, you know, he didn't feel like he was the type of person that could raise a kid. And then he met Miles. And then now in the second movie, he has a baby.
Yeah, Mayday, adorable baby. So Juan and Jay, you guys don't think that what's his face is a bad guy? I think he's setting up these canon events, like, because he's trying to not to keep the universe. I mean, because
I think he's a bad guy. I definitely think he's a bad guy.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I definitely think that the fact that he's so keen on setting up the canon effects or the canon events, and he's gaining something from them. I just don't know what. I can't figure it out. And there's so much hatred towards Miles that there's something there.
Well, I mean, I think because Miles was the anomaly, that it probably triggered the collapse of that universe that Miguel was, you know, squatting in.
Yeah. I you know, and that's the other thing. Like, you know, I'm trying to figure out exactly, because I also believe that Miguel is up to something, like another thing, that these canon events also give him something. And I don't know what that is, like, because you have to remember that he's also from the future. Right. So and he didn't come into his powers the same way all the other spider folks came into their powers. Right. Bitten by radioactive, blah, 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 blah. Right. At least not to what, based on what we understand, right? We don't know how he came into his power. So do you think he's creating these events to keep these Spider-Men alive? Because he took that serum, and then that, you know, the animation was like making little spider guys over his blood. Do you think he's trying to keep these spider folks alive so that he can just keep synthesizing this thing? Because if the entire web collapses, then he won't be able to synthesize his own powers and keep maybe his vampirism in check. He's up to something. I don't know what the fuck it is. I think it has everything to do with these collapsing universes. And like, I think he either wants him to collapse or he doesn't want him to collapse so that he can gain more power. He's trying to do something. I just don't know exactly what.
I don't know. There may be like another higher power involved in these canon events, that they either promised him the life that he wants if all these canon events take place, and that's why he's so invested in keeping all the canon together so he can find happiness and you know, have that family that he once had.
He is absolutely up to fucking something. And then
is he in the comics,
Spider-Man 2099?
Like, is he a vampire like he is in the movie?
Yes.
So is he a bad guy in the comics?
No, he's a hero.
He's a hero. He's a hero.
He's a Spider-Man.
Yeah. Yeah, dude.
So he's probably not going to be a bad guy in the movie either.
I feel like, again, I think he's hiding something. I think there's something that, like, he's not telling us, because it just, the things he's doing, they don't add up. Like, you know, I get it. You know, he destroyed one universe by jumping in, but like, you know, if left alone, right? If Miles being the only anomaly, what's happening, like, that makes it so important that he stops it from happening? Like, what's the big fucking deal?
Yeah. Yeah. There's a few like holes in this story that need to be explained in the third movie.
All right. So my last question for you guys about this movie is what do you think will happen in the next installment? If you had to give a pie in the sky based off everything you know, like, how do you think it will end?
The daughter spot
Daughter Spot. What?
No, Dot or Spot or whatever his fucking name is resurfaces. I think he escapes Miles G. Morales with the spider dick. I think that Miles' dad doesn't die, and he realizes because he's the anomaly, he's the exception to the rule, and he doesn't have to have his captain figure die. I think his parents find out that, or he tells his parents that he's Spider-Man, and that helps him cope and continue becoming a better Spider-Man.
How about you, Jay?
I don't know. I mean, there's so much to unpack that I wouldn't know where to begin. You know, like I don't, there's so many things that can happen. I feel like Spider-Gwen could easily like die in the third movie, you know, like,
yeah. Yeah, yeah. The more I think about it, the more it's giving me like goblin vibes from Spider-Man. You know, he's like, gods don't have to choose. And Miles, I think, has a little bit of that mentality of like, if I can do this stuff, no one has to die, you know? So it just makes me wonder, like, Miles, I don't know, man. For me, I think you're right. There's a lot of different strands going on here. So I hope they all get resolved in this last movie. But more than that, I hope that, like, Miles has I think the spot's going to be his failing. Like, he's just gonna, his dad will be fine, his parents will be fine, they'll learn that he's Spider-Man, and yeah, he'll have some anxiety to deal with around that, but you know, but more than that, I think, you know, he's gonna have to choose, like, you know, like, gods don't have to choose, like Mary Jane and this bus full of people, I can save both, whatever the fuck. And he's gonna fail. Like, he's gonna have his amazing Spider-Man 2 moment where even the little web looks like it turns into a hand, and fucking Gwen Stacy's head still claps on the concrete ever so slightly to kill her. You know, and I feel like he has to, I don't know, you know, and maybe he's gonna win the whole time, I don't fucking know, but I feel like he's gonna have a major failing in the next installment.
Yeah, they're setting up, you know, his father dying, but maybe his mother also.
Yeah,
mom could be the one that dies, or he can watch his Uncle Aaron die in another universe.
Two universes. Yeah. Jesus Christ!
Yeah, like that would screw up anybody. You know, like,
yeah,
like he can't. He had the opportunity to save his Uncle Aaron a second time, and he failed. That, you know,
that's true. That's true. Do you guys have any favorite scenes from this movie?
You know, the upside down scene when they were just kind of talking.
Yeah, that's same.
It's so pretty to watch.
Yes,
oh, you know, like,
yeah. I agree. It is probably the best animated scene in that entire movie, and the fact that it's all happening upside down, it's great. It's yeah, I agree. That is mine. If I had to choose another one, it would be anything happening in Spider-Man India's.
His entire scene is like, I don't have to work out because I'm already like tone. I have great hair. Yeah, I like.
Well, I thought the color palette was good. The animation, anyway. Go ahead, Jay.
Yeah, I like how he got upset when he called it chai tea.
You're just saying tea.
Chai means tea.
Yeah, well, I mean, and then Peter fucking Miles does the same thing. He's like, why do people say machine after ATM?
Yeah, you know? ATM machine.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. How about you, Juan? You have a favorite scene, or do you just hate everything?
No, I truly didn't like the scenes where the parents are trying to connect with Miles, and even after they crash and see Block, Miles and Gwen Stacy, like, the dad leaves and the mom stays there, and he's like, I you know, I can still hear you pretending not to be there or trying to be quiet. And then she says, tries to say something cool and hip, and he's like, nobody my age group would say those in that order. And then she kind of does the cool thing of, hey, go after her, you're still grounded, but go after her.
Mm-hmm.
That I like that scene a lot. And TT or chai tea.
Yeah, it's a good scene again, because as Jay already mentioned, like, the movie has like a lot of emotional through lines, you know, and one of those is of your parents and the people you love, the people that you want to love. Yeah, it's just lots of complex stuff going on. And what is supposed to be a kids movie, right? This is a kids movie. You know,
I want to say it's like, what, like PG-13 or something?
Yeah, like young adults. I don't know. It's one of those movies that if you watch as a 9-year-old kid, you probably thought it was cool for the Spider-Man stuff. But then you'll watch it again in like your teenage and early adult life and go, holy shit. You know what I mean? What was that watching?
Yeah, it has a lot of layers. There's a lot of layers to this movie.
Yeah. All right, we have the part of the show where we got to choose which, I don't know, what's the scale here? How many spider dicks?
Spider dicks.
Yes, how many spider dicks? I don't know, man. I got nothing. How many?
I don't know.
Something from what's his face?
How many chai teas?
How many spider punks would you give it?
Spider punks. Yeah.
How many spider? Yeah, he doesn't really care. He doesn't care if we use his name or not. He's an agent of anarch. How many spider punks out of 10 would you give it? One,
six or seven.
Six or seven. All right. How about you, Jay? How many spider punks out of 10?
I give it 10. 10 spider punks out of 10.
You can't rate every fucking movie we see that high, man.
He didn't rate every movie we've seen that
high.
This is
honestly the first 10 that I've dished out, actually.
He's gotten close. I think maybe he gave the first one a 10 as well, but I...
What did you give Turtles? Didn't you give a...
No, I gave it like a 7 or 8.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you really?
Yeah, it wasn't that high, dude. But
this movie is honestly, it's revolutionary. I think it's changing the face of animation. I think a lot of the studios are going to dump all the movies that they were dumping into like these big blockbuster movies. They're going to start dumping it into this animation to where they want to recreate this type of animation and give all these new artists and animators the freedom to kind of create a lot of things just like Into the Spider-Verse and Across the Spider-Verse. So this movie is revolutionary. So I mean, that it's just great. The storytelling is great. The animation style is great. All the acting is great. So yeah, it's 10 spider punks out of 10.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I give this movie also 10 spider punks out of 10. I think Jay hit every nail there was to hit on this movie. The animation is great. Story is great. And they executed it extremely well. To the point where you were mad that it ended in a cliffhanger, Juan. You know the last movie I saw that was filmed as one movie that cut itself right at the precipice of the act ending? You know what movie that was?
Back to the Future?
No. The Matrix Reloaded and Revolutions. Remember that?
Yes.
Yeah, I do. And I don't think that the ending, that the movies did as well a good of a job as this movie, I think, will do for its last installment. So it's a lot. So I give this 10 spiders punks out of 10, man. 10 out of 10. Juan, are you ready for the outro?
You do the outro on these.
I know. Juan, you saw the first one, didn't you? You saw the first Spider-Verse movie? I realize it's too late for me to ask.
Yeah, I actually did. I did. And I felt very confused by the animation.
Because there's no dicks in it or what?
Yeah, no animated dicks.
You know what? Forget you.
Anyway, guys, that is the end of the review. What did you guys think? You thought it was good? How many spider punks out of 10 would you give it? As always, you can find us on all of the socials. And like I said, if you haven't already, please take time to stop the podcast, go and review us on iTunes or shit. Do it while you're listening to us, right? On iTunes. It helps us find more fun people like you. Until next time. I'll see you guys when we start the next season or the next review. Who knows? Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Night. We'll be right back.